This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, taking a cue from the competition, Roku said it will allow its customers to buy pay TV subscriptions through the Roku Channel, its TV and movie streaming service, adding to the big pile of your overwhelming streaming options after these tech headlines. From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, Apple remained the talk of the town on Thursday. Shares fell nearly 9% after the iPhone maker slashed its quarterly revenue forecast for the first time in more than 15 years. The surprise cut reignited fears about demand for the iPhone, which accounts for most of Apple's revenue. It also heightens concern about Apple's prospects in China, which represents nearly 20% of its sales. Heard on the streets, Dan Gallagher has more.
It really boiled down to they're having a lot of problems with the iPhone, and specifically a lot of the problems with selling the iPhone in China. Plus, you know, just globally, and even in markets like the U.S., they're feeling the effect of things like, I think a factor is the prices on the phones have gotten too high.
Apple has lost more than $300 billion in market value since peaking above $1 trillion in early October. Last year was Apple's worst yearly performance since the financial crisis. Hear more details on the latest Apple coverage via the What's News podcast, as well as the Instant Message podcast. You can find both on the podcast page at WSJ.com. A shakeup in big tech management sees the meal subscription service get some new blood by way of Spotify. Mayur Gupta, Vice President of Growth and Marketing at Spotify, is joining the prepared meal subscription startup Freshly as Chief Marketing Officer. As of late, the prepared meal services have to contend not only with logistics and distribution challenges, but competition from restaurant delivery startups, meal kit services, and of course, home cooking, restaurant takeout, and dining out. The journal says Gupta aims to help the startup stand out among quote-unquote food tech players. And China successfully lands a probe on the dark side of the moon, also known as the far side of the moon. This marks a milestone for the country's ambitious space program and is heating up competition with the U.S. The Chang'e 4 touched down Thursday morning Beijing time. Having landed intact, it will deploy a rover to gather samples that could give us insights into the moon's internal composition. More than just a technological achievement, the mission's success is a publicity coup for President Xi Jinping, who has personally endorsed China's space efforts. The landing makes China the first country to deploy a probe on the far side of the moon. Coming up, keeping the streaming world afloat, Roku, taking cues from the likes of Amazon and Apple, adds premium subscriptions. What it means for your streaming options, coming up. In a feature which is scheduled to launch in late January, Roku will allow users to buy pay TV subscriptions through the Roku Channel, allowing Roku to sell subscriptions within its own channel, which in hopes leads to more favorable economics for Roku. Roku hopes so, at least. Let's get more. Joining us in the podcast studio with the latest is Wall Street Journal reporter Benjamin Mullen. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
First, to get a feeling of what's on a new streaming menu for the masses, this will offer what kind of streaming programming and channels?
You can access Stars, Epix, Showtime, and then everything else you could already access on Roku, which is something like 5,000 channels or something like that.
So this is obviously taking a page from the other players. How does Roku hold up against the big streaming rivals? Figure it's Apple and Amazon, but in terms of its competition, in terms of market share, Roku seems to be holding its own against the giants. It seems like a formidable competitor in this space.
Yeah, Roku, interesting story, founded by a former Netflix executive. It's the sixth company he founded, which is why it's called Roku, because that's six in Japanese.
That's interesting.
Yeah. He actually, Anthony Wood, the guy who founded it, had the idea to do OTT streaming devices before they were really popular. And so in the meantime, in the last few years, Roku's gotten a pretty substantial market share, I think something between 40 and 50% of these devices in the marketplace. And they've carved out a real niche for themselves. But there's huge competition. Amazon, which is in so many industries, publishing, e-commerce, retail, is also in this industry. And so with their Prime Video model, they've really taken away a lot of the market share and Fire TVs and Fire Sticks and stuff.
Sure.
Apple TV, another tech giant that's also in this space. So they've grown quite a bit, but they also have huge competition.
Right. And this is an attempt to open up a new source of money, a new revenue stream. You know, devices, obviously, it's bread and butter. But how does Roku make money? You said it's carved a niche, but how does it succeed at making money?
Yeah. So they sell a lot of advertising. They are primarily advertising supported. So all the content that viewers watch on Roku, there's a lot of folks that want to reach those viewers. And so they sell advertising. They also get some kind of shared economics from the sale of subscriptions to these channels like Stars and Showtime and Epix.
It's a good incentive for the premium channels, right? Because they're trying to make money too.
100%. And the debate is, if you're one of these premium channels, well, do you let Roku sell your subscriptions directly or do you want to do it yourself? Netflix probably will not participate. They'll probably want to do it themselves because they get the direct relationship and they get the data. But if you're a smaller premium cable channel like a Showtime or an Epix and you don't have a huge consumer-facing platform like some of those companies do, like Netflix and Amazon, then yeah, maybe it's worth foregoing some of the subscription revenue or a little bonus on each subscriber to get that added, to use Roku essentially as a marketing channel.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, it's just another way to stream video. There's no shortage. And it seems like these days the power in that seems to be back with the consumer. They want to keep us happy because it seems like there are so many options. And so this trend of streaming subscription channels seems like where we've landed at the moment. Does that make sense?
100%. And I think the question is, how many channels are we going to have subscriptions to?
Right.
We're all going to have Netflix. We're all going to have Amazon probably. But then Roku? I mean, do we want a subscription to CuriosityStream, which is like a smaller factual entertainment one? I think the question is, what are customers' tolerances for these various services?
Mm-hmm. Benjamin Mullen, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.
For more on the story, head to WSJ.com. That does it for the Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.